We have decided as a community to do a reading of Chapter 4 of Power Versus Force by David Hawkins, which is the chapter called Levels of Human Consciousness. And so I'm going to start reading, and then other friends who happen to be here at study group today are going to continue on from where I leave off. So this is Chapter 4, Levels of Human Consciousness by David Hawkins. The ways the various levels of human consciousness express themselves are profound and far-reaching. Their effects are both gross and subtle. All levels below 200 are destructive of life in both the individual and society at large. All levels above 200 are constructive expressions of power. The decisive level of 200 is the fulcrum that divides the general areas of force and power. In describing the emotional correlates of the energy fields of consciousness, it is well to remember that they rarely are manifested as pure states in any individual. Levels of consciousness are always mixed. A person may operate on one level in a given area of life and on quite another level in another area. An individual's overall level of consciousness is the sum total effect of these various levels. The lowest level is energy level 20, shame. The level of shame is perilously proximate to death, which may be chosen out of shame as conscious suicide, or more subtly, elected by failure to take steps to prolong life. Death by avoidable accident is common here. We have some awareness of the pain of losing face, becoming discredited, being a non-person. In shame, we hang our heads and slink away, wishing we were invisible. Banishment is a traditional accompaniment of shame, and in primitive societies from which we all originate, banishment is equivalent to death. Early life experience, such as sexual abuse, which leads to shame, warp the personality for a lifetime unless these issues are resolved by therapy. Shame, as Freud determined, produces neurosis. It is destructive to emotional and psychological health, and as a consequence of low self-esteem, makes one prone to the development of physical illness. The shame-based personality is shy, withdrawn, and introverted. Shame is used as a tool of cruelty, and victims often become themselves cruel. Shame children are cruel to animals and cruel to each other. The behavior of people whose consciousness is only in the 20s is dangerous. They are prone to hallucinations of an accusatory nature, as well as paranoia. Some become psychotic or commit bizarre crimes. Some shame-based individuals compensate by perfectionism and rigidity and become driven and intolerant. Notorious example of this are the moral extremists who form vigilante groups, projecting their own unconscious shame onto others, whom they then feel justified in righteously attacking. Serial killers have often acted out as sexual moralism with the justification of punishing bad women. Because it pulls down the whole level of personality, shame results in a vulnerability to the other negative emotions, and therefore often produces false pride, anger, and guilt.
Energy level 30, guilt. Guilt, so commonly used in our society to manipulate, punish, manifests itself in a variety of expressions such as remorse, self-recrimination, masochism, and a whole gamut of symptoms of victimhood. Unconscious guilt results in psychosomatic disease, accident proneness, and suicidal behaviors. Many people struggle with guilt their entire lives, while others desperately attempt to escape by immorally denying guilt altogether. Guilt domination results in a preoccupation with sin, an unforgiving emotional attitude frequently exploited by religious demagogues, who use it for coercion and control. Such sin and salvation merchants, obsessed with punishment, are likely either acting out on their own guilt or projecting onto it onto others. Subcultures displaying the aberration of self-flagellation often manifest other endemic forms of cruelty, such as public ritual killings of animals. Guilt provokes rage, and killing frequently is its expression. Capital punishment is an example of how killing gratifies a guilt-ridden populace. Our unforgiving American society, for instance, pillories its victims in the press and metes out punishment, which have never been demonstrated to have been a deterrent of corrective value.
Energy level 50 is apathy. This level is characterized by poverty, despair, and hopelessness. The world and the future look bleak. Pathos is the theme of life. It is a state of helplessness. Its victims, needy in every way, lack not only resources, but the energy to avail themselves of what may be available. Unless external energy is supplied by caregivers, death through passive suicide can result. Without the will to live, the hopeless stare blankly, unresponsive to stimuli, until the eyes stop tracking and there's not enough energy left to even swallow food. This is the level of the homeless and derelicts. It is also the fate of many of the aged and others who become isolated by chronic and progressive diseases. The apathetic are dependent. People in apathy are heavy and are felt as a burden by those around them. Too often, society lacks sufficient motivation to be of any real help to cultures as well as individuals at this level, who are seen as drains of resources. This is the level of the streets of Calcutta, where only the saintly, such as Mother Teresa and her followers, dare to tread. It is the level of the abandonment of hope, and few have the courage to really look in its face.
Energy level 75, grief. This is the level of sadness, loss, and despondency. Most of us have experienced it for periods of time, but those who remain at this level live a life of constant regret and depression. This is the level of mourning, bereavement, and remorse about the past. It is also the level of habitual losers and those chronic gamblers who accept failure as part of their lifestyle, often resulting in loss of jobs, friends, family, and opportunity, as well as money and health. Most major losses in early life make one later vulnerable to passive acceptance of grief as though sorrow were the price of life. In grief, one sees sadness everywhere. The sadness of little children, the sadness of world conditions, the sadness of life itself. This level colors one's entire vision of existence. Part of the syndrome of loss is the notion of irreplaceability of what is lost or that which is symbolized. There is a generalization from that particular, so that the loss of loved one is equated with the loss of love itself. At this level, such emotional losses may trigger a serious depression or death. Though grief is the cemetery of life, it still has more energy to it than does apathy. Thus, when a traumatized apathetic patient begins to cry, we know he is getting better. Once he starts to cry, he will eat again.
Energy level 100 is fear. At the level of 100, there is a lot more life energy available. Fear of danger is healthy. Fear runs much of the world, spurring on endless activity. Fear of enemies, fear of old age or death, fear of rejection, and a multitude of social fears are basic motivators in most people's lives. From the viewpoint of this level, the world looks hazardous, full of traps and threats. Fear is the favored official tool of control by oppressive totalitarian agencies, and insecurity in the stock and trade of major manipulators of the marketplace. The media and advertising play to fear to increase market share. The proliferation of fears is as limitless as the human imagination. Once fear is one's focus, the endless fearful events of the world feed it. Fear becomes obsessive and may take any form. Fear of loss of relationship leads to jealousy and a chronically high stress level. Fearful thinking can balloon into paranoia or generate neurotic defensive structures, and because it is contagious, become a dominant social trend. Fear limits growth of the personality and leads to inhibition. Because it takes energy to rise above fear, the oppressed are unable to reach a higher level unaided. Thus, the fearful seek strong leaders who appear to have conquered their fear to lead them out of its slavery.
Energy level 125, desire. There is yet more energy available at this level. Desire motivates vast areas of human activity, including the economy. Advertisers play on desires to program us with needs linked to instinctual drives. Desire moves us to expand great effort to achieve goals or obtain rewards. The desire for money, prestige, or power runs the lives of many of those who have risen above fear as their predominant life motif. Desire is also the level of addictions, wherein desire becomes a craving more important than life itself. The victim of desire may actually be unaware of the basis of his motives. Some people become addicted to the desire for attention and drive others away by their constant demands. The desire for sexual approval has produced an entire cosmetics and fashion industry. Desire has to do with accumulation and greed, but desire is insatiable because it is an ongoing energy field, so that satisfaction of one desire is merely replaced by unsatisfied desire for something else. Multimillionaires remain obsessed with acquiring more and more money. Desire is a much higher state than apathy or grief, obviously. In order to get, you have to first have the energy to want. TV has had a major influence on many oppressed people, incalculating wants and energizing their desires to the degree that they move out of apathy and begin to seek a better life. Want can start us on the road to achievement. Desire can, therefore, become a springboard to yet higher levels of awareness.
Energy level 150 is anger. Although anger may lead to homicide and war, as an energy level, it is farther removed from death than those below it. Anger can lead to either constructive or destructive action. As people move out of apathy and grief to overcome fear as a way of life, they begin to want. Desire leads to frustration, which in turn leads to anger. Thus, anger can be a fulcrum by which the oppressed are eventually capitulated to freedom. Anger over social injustice, victimization, and inequality has created great movements that have led to major changes in the structure of society. But anger expresses itself most often as resentment and revenge, and therefore is volatile and dangerous. Anger as a lifestyle is exemplified by irritated, explosive people who are oversensitive to slights and become injustice collectors, quarrelsome, belligerent, or litigious. As anger stems from frustrated wants, it is based on the energy field below it. Frustration results from exaggerating the importance of desire. The angry person may, like the frustrated infant, go into a rage. Anger leads easily to hatred, which has an erosive effect on all areas of a person's life.
Energy level 175, pride. Pride, which calibrates at 175, has enough energy to run the United States Marine Corps. It is the level aspired to by the majority of our kind today. People feel positive as they reach this level, in contrast to the lower energy fields. This rise in self-esteem is a balm to all the pain experienced at lower levels of consciousness. Pride looks good and knows it. It struts its stuff in the parade of life. Pride is at a far enough remove from shame, guilt, or fear that to rise, for instance, out of the despair of the ghetto to the pride of being a Marine is an enormous jump. Pride as such generally has a good reputation and is socially encouraged. Yet as we see it from the chart of the levels of consciousness, it is a sufficiently negative to remain below the critical level of 200. This is why pride feels good only in contrast to the lower levels. The problem, as we all know, is that pride goeth before a fall. Pride is defensive and vulnerable because it is dependent upon external conditions, without which it can suddenly revert to a lower level. The inflated ego is vulnerable to attack. Pride remains weak because it can be knocked off its pedestal into shame, which is the threat that fires the fear of loss of pride. Pride is divisive and gives rise to factionalism. The consequences are costly. Man has habitually died for pride. Armies still regularly slaughter each other for that aspect of pride called nationalism. Religious wars, political terrorism, and zealotry, the ghastly history of the Middle East and Central Europe, are all the price of pride, which all of society pays. The downside of pride is arrogance and denial. These characteristics block growth. In pride, recovery from addictions is impossible because emotional problems or character defects are denied. The whole problem of denial is one of pride. Thus, pride is a very sizable block to the acquisition of real power, which displaces pride with true stature and prestige.
Energy level 200 is courage. At the 200 level, power first appears. When we test subjects at all energy levels below 200, we find, as can be readily verified, all go weak. Everyone goes strong in response to the life supportive fields above 200. This is the critical line that distinguishes the positive and negative influences of life. At the level of courage, an attainment of true power occurs. Therefore, it is also the level of empowerment. This is a zone of exploration, accomplishment, fortitude, and determination. At the lower levels, the world is seen as hopeless, sad, frightening, or frustrating. But at the level of courage, life is seen to be exciting, challenging, and stimulating. Courage implies the willingness to try new things and deal with the vicissitudes of life. At this level of empowerment, one is able to cope with and handle effectively the opportunities of life. At 200, for instance, there is the energy to learn new job skills. Growth and education become attainable goals. There is the capacity to face fears or character defects and to grow despite them, and anxiety does not cripple endeavor as it would at lower stages of evolution. Obstacles which defeat people whose consciousness are below 200 acts as stimulus to those who have evolved into the first level of true power. People at this level put back into the world as much energy as they take. At lower levels, populations as well as individuals drain energy from society without reciprocating. Because accomplishment results in positive feedback, self-reward, and esteem, it becomes progressively self-reinforcing. This is where productivity begins. The collective level of consciousness of mankind remained at 190 for many centuries, and curiously, only jumped to its current level of 204 within the last decade.
Energy level 250, neutrality. Energy becomes very positive as we get to the level which we have termed neutral, because it is epitomized by release from the positionality which typifies lower levels. Below 250 consciousness tends to see dichotomies and take on rigid positions, an impediment in a world which is complex and multifactorial rather than black and white. Taking such positions creates polarization, and polarization in turn creates opposition and division. As in the martial arts, a rigid position becomes a point of vulnerability. That which does not bend is liable to break. Rising above barriers or oppositions, which dissipate one's energies, the neutral condition allows for flexibility and non-judgmental, realistic appraisal of problems. To be neutral means to be relatively unattached to outcomes. Not getting one's way is no longer experienced as defeating, frightening, or frustrating. At the neutral level, a person can say, "Well, if I don't get this job, then I'll get another." This is the beginning of inner confidence, sensing one's power. One is not easily intimidated. One is not driven to prove anything. The expectation that life, with its ups and downs, will basically be okay if one can roll with the punches is a 250 level attitude. People at neutrality have a sense of well-being. The mark of this level is confident capability to live in the world. This is the level of safety. People at the neutral level are easy to get along with, safe to be around and associate with, because they are not interested in conflict, competition, or guilt. They are comfortable and basically undisturbed emotionally. This attitude is non-judgmental and does not lead to any need to control other people's behaviors. Correspondingly, because neutral folk value freedom, they are hard to control.
Energy level 310, willingness. This very positive level of energy may be seen as the gateway to the higher levels. Whereas jobs, for instance, are done adequately at the neutral level, at the level of willingness, work is done well and success in all endeavors is common. Growth is rapid here. These are people chosen for advancement. Willingness implies that one has overcome inner resistance to life and is committed to participation. Below the 200 calibration, people tend to be closed-minded, but by level 310, a great opening occurs. At this level, people become genuinely friendly, and social and economic success seem to follow automatically. The willing are not troubled by unemployment. They will take any job when they have to, or create a career or self-employment for themselves. They do not feel demeaned by service jobs or starting at the bottom. They are helpful to others and contribute to the good of society. They are also willing to face inner issues and do not have major learning blocks. At this level of self-esteem is high and is reinforced by positive feedback from society in the forms of recognition, appreciation, and reward. Willingness is sympathetic and responsive to the needs of others. Willing people are builders and contributors to society. With their capacity to bounce back from adversity and learn from experience, they tend to become self-correcting. Having let go of pride, they were willing to look at their defects and learn from others. At the level of willingness, people become excellent students. They're easily trainable and represent a considerable source of power for society.
Energy level 350, acceptance. At this level of awareness, a major transformation takes place with the understanding that one is oneself, the source and creator of the experience of one's life. Taking such responsibility is distinctive of this degree of evolution, characterized by the capacity to live harmoniously with the forces of life. Mm-hmm. All people at levels below 200 tend to be powerless and see themselves as victims at the mercy of life. This stems from a belief that the source of one's happiness or the cause of one's problem is out there. An enormous jump. Taking back one's own power is completed at this level with the realization that the source of happiness is within oneself. At this more evolved stage, nothing out there has the capacity to make one happy, and love is not something that is given or taken away by another, but is created from within. Acceptance is not to be confused with passivity, which is a symptom of apathy. This form of acceptance allows engagement on life's own terms, without trying to make it conform to an agenda. With acceptance, there is emotional calm and perception is widened as denial is transcended. One now sees things without distortion or misinterpretation. The context of experience is expanded so that one is capable of seeing the whole picture. Acceptance has to do essentially with balance, proportion, and appropriateness. The individual at the level of acceptance is not interested in determining right or wrong, but instead is dedicated to resolving issues and finding out what to do about problems. Tough jobs do not cause discomfort or dismay. Long-term goals take precedence over short-term ones. Self-discipline and mastery are prominent. At the level of acceptance, we are not polarized by conflict or opposition. We see that other people have the same rights as we do, and we honor equality. While lower levels are characterized by rigidity, at this level, social plurality begins to emerge as a form of resolution of problems. Therefore, this level is free of discrimination or intolerance. It is awareness that equality does not preclude diversity. Acceptance includes rather than rejects.
Energy level 400, reason. Intelligence and rationality rise to the forefront when the emotionalism of lower levels is transcended. Reason is capable of handling large, complex amounts of data and making rapid, correct decisions, of understanding the intricacies of relationships, gradations, and fine distinctions, and of expert manipulation of symbols as abstract concepts become increasingly important. This is the level of science, medicine, and of generally increased capacity for conceptualization and comprehension. Knowledge and education are here sought as capital. Understanding and information are the main tools of accomplishment, which is the hallmark of the 400 level. This is the level of Nobel Prize winners, great statesmen, Supreme Court justices, Einstein, Freud, and many other important figures in the history of thought calibrate here. The shortcomings of this level are failure to clearly distinguish between symbols and what they represent, confusion between the objective and subjective worlds that limit the understanding of causality. At this level, it's easy to lose sight of the forest for the trees, to become infatuated with concepts and theories and end up missing the essential point. Intellectualizing can become an end in itself. Reason is limited in that it does not afford the capacity for the discernment of essence or of the critical point of a complex issue. Reason does not of itself provide a guide to truth. It produces massive amounts of information and documentation, but lacks the capability to resolve discrepancies in data and conclusions. All philosophical arguments sound convincing on their own. Although reason is highly affected in a technical world where methodologies of logic dominate, reason itself, paradoxically, is a major block to reaching higher levels of consciousness. Transcending this level is relatively uncommon in our society.
Energy level 500, love. Love is depicted in the mass media is not what this level is about. What the world generally refers to as love is an intense emotionality combining physical attraction, possessiveness, control, addiction, eroticism, and novelty. It is usually, evanescence?
Evanescent.
Yeah. Okay. Fluctuating, waxing and waning with varying conditions. When frustrated, this emotion often reveals an underlying anger and dependency that it had masked. That love can turn to hate is a common concept, but what is being spoken about then rather than love is likely an addictive sentimentality. Hate stems from pride, not love. There is probably... Hate stems from pride, not love. There probably never was actual love in such a relationship. The 500 level is characterized by the development of a love which is unconditional, unchanging, and permanent. It does not fluctuate because its source within the person who loves is not dependent on external factors. Loving is a state of being. It is a way of relating to the world which is forgiving, nurturing, and supportive. Love is not intellectual and does not proceed from the mind. Love emanates from the heart. It has the capacity to lift others and accomplish great feats because of its purity and motive. Purity of motive. At this level of development, the capacity to discern essence becomes predominant. The core of an issue becomes the center of focus. As reason is bypassed, there arises the capacity for instantaneous recognition of the totality of the problem and a major expansion of context, especially regarding time and process. Reason deals only with particulars. Reason deals only with particulars, whereas love deals with wholes. Okay. This ability, often ascribed to intuition, is the capacity for instantaneous understanding without resort to sequential symbol processing. This apparently abstract phenomenon is in fact quite concrete. It is accompanied by a measurable release of endorphins in the brain. Love takes no position and thus is global, rising above the separation of positionality. It is then possible to be one with another as there are no longer any barriers. Love is therefore inclusive and expands the sense of itself progressively. Love focuses on the goodness of life in all its expressions and augments that which is positive. It dissolves negativity by recontextualizing it rather than by attacking it. This is the level of true happiness, but although the world is fascinated with the subject of love, and all viable religions calibrate at 500 or over, it is interesting to note that only 0.4% of the world's population ever reaches this level of evolution of consciousness.
Energy level 540, joy. As love becomes more and more unconditional, it begins to be experienced as inner joy. This is not the sudden joy of a pleasurable turn of events. It is a constant accompaniment to all activities. Joy arises from within each moment of existence rather than from any outer source. 540 is also the level of healing and of spiritually based self-help groups. From level 540 up is the domain of saints, spiritual healers, and advanced spiritual students. Characteristic of this energy field is a capacity for enormous patience and the persistence of a positive attitude in the face of prolonged adversity. The hallmark of this state is compassion. People who have attained this level have a notable effect on others. They are capable of prolonged open visual gaze, which induces a state of love and peace. At the high 500s, the world one sees is illuminated by the exquisite beauty and perfection of creation. Everything happens effortlessly, by synchronicity, and the world and everything in it seems to be an expression of love and divinity. Individual will merges into divine will. A presence is felt whose power facilitates phenomena outside conventional expectations of reality, termed miraculous by the ordinary observer. These phenomena represent the power of the energy field, not the individual. One's sense of responsibility for others at this level is of a different quality from that shown at the lower levels. There is a desire to use one's state of consciousness for the benefit of life itself rather than for particular individuals. This capacity to love many people simultaneously is accompanied by the discovery that the more one loves, the more one can love. Near-death experiences, characteristically transformative in their effect, frequently have allowed people to experience the energy level between 540 and 600.
Energy level 600, peace. This energy field is associated with the experience designated by such terms as transcendence, self-realization, and God consciousness. It is extremely rare, attained by only 1 in 10 million people. When this state is reached, the distinction between subject and object disappears, and there is no specific focal point of perception. Not uncommonly, individuals at this level remove themselves from the world, as the state of bliss that ensues precludes ordinary activity. Some become spiritual teachers. Others work anonymously for the betterment of mankind. A few become great geniuses in their respective fields and make major contributions to society. These people are saintly and may eventually be designated officially as saints. Though at this level, formal religion is commonly transcended, to be replaced by the pure spirituality out of which all religion originates. Perception at the level of 600 and above is sometimes reported as occurring in slow motion, suspended in time and space, though nothing is stationary. All is alive and radiant. Although this world is the same world seen by others, it has become continuously flowing, evolving in an exquisitely coordinated evolutionary dance in which significance and source are overwhelming. This awesome revelation takes place non-rationally, so that there is an infinite silence in the mind which has stopped conceptualizing. That which is witnessing and that which is witnessed take on the same identity. The observer dissolves into the landscape and becomes equally the observed. Everything is connected to everything else by a presence whose power is infinite, exquisitely gentle, yet rock solid. Great works of art, music, and architecture, which calibrate between 600 and 700, can transport us temporarily to higher levels of consciousness and are universally recognized as inspirational and timeless.
Energy level 700 through 1000, enlightenment. This is the level of the great ones of history who originated the spiritual patterns which multitudes have followed through the ages. All are associated with divinity, with which they are often identified. It is the level of powerful inspiration. These beings set in place attractor energy fields which influence all of mankind. At this level, there is no longer the experience of an individual personal self separate from others. Rather, there is an identification of self with consciousness and divinity. The unmanifest is experienced as self beyond mind. The transcendence of the ego also serves by example to teach others how this can eventually be accomplished. This is the peak of the evolution of consciousness in the human realm. Great teachings uplift the masses and raise the level of awareness to all of humanity. To have such vision is called grace, and the gift it brings is infinite peace, described as ineffable, beyond words. At this level of realization, the sense of one's existence transcends all time and all individuality. There is no longer any identification with the physical body as me, and therefore its fate is of no concern. The body is seen as merely a tool of consciousness through the intervention of mind, its prime value that of communication. The self merges back into the self. This is the level of non-duality, or complete oneness. There is no localization of consciousness. Awareness is everywhere, equally present. Great works of art depicting individuals who have reached the level of enlightenment characteristically show the teacher with a specific hand position, called mudra, wherein the palm of the hand radiates benediction. This is the act of the transmission of this energy field to the consciousness of mankind. This level of divine grace calibrates up to 1,000, the highest level attained by any persons who have lived in the recorded history, to wit, the great avatars to whom the title Lord is appropriate, Lord Krishna, Lord Buddha, and Lord Jesus Christ.
So I'm really grateful to each member of the Sterling Study Group community who was willing to read a piece of this wonderful chapter, and I hope lots of people listen to it. And if you do, please let me know, because I want to hear what your reaction is. Thanks to everybody.